just a double again. I want to see a triple doink. It might happen.
Doink.
Double doink.
It's double doink.
Double doink.
Triple doink. Quadruple doink.
Doink.
Doink. A double doink right there.
Doink. Doink. A double doink.
Double doinker.
Dicker the kicker. Triple doink sit in. Doink, 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 doink.
Double doinks and sackle.
Teaching you how to football.
Can you teach me how to football? It's been a while.
I don't know what I mean.
It has. We're going to try to. We're definitely going to try to. All right, welcome back to another episode. We are going to do a little recap of Week 16. Well, some interesting news coming up involving some people.
Yeah.
Did you hear about Russell Wilson?
I feel like I see it everywhere these days.
No one can stop talking about it.
One game out of the playoffs, and they are going to bench him the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's interesting. It was handled very poorly, I think, by kind of all sides. I mean, maybe not Russ. I feel as though, you know, the rumors were out there. The whole thing was just to avoid, like, this $37 million injury bonus if he can't pass the physical on the fifth day of the league year next year. And they're trying to defer that back, and they think the best way to do it was to bench him. I was actually just kind of reading up on this today, and one of the interesting factors of it was they approached him right after they upset the Chiefs, and the NFL and the NFLPA got involved, and that's why he kept starting for the next couple weeks after that game. And finally, like, it broke down, and now he's going to be benched for the next two games because that's the easiest way to keep him, quote-unquote, safe for this injury thing. I still believe that this obviously happened, and you know there's proof that it happened. I still believe though that after the initial things kind of came out, I think Russ's camp is the one that definitely like let this out because it makes the Broncos look very, very poor in this.
Oh, decision. Terrible! And they're one game behind like the seventh seed in the playoffs. I mean, the playoffs are up for grabs for a lot of teams still with only 2 weeks to go.
Playoffs.
It's just. Yeah, it is a crazy situation. And then also in the news, Andrew brought this up, Zaire Alexander, cornerback for the Packers, not going to play this week because he decided to make himself a captain.
He is a little bit of a wild card. He's definitely a wild card.
I love that guy.
We can answer a clip of that here.
So were you supposed to be a captain? Because the team announces the three-game captains, and you were the fourth, and you called a toss. What happened there?
Oh, yeah, I mean, you know, it's only suiting, you know. I don't think Coach knew I was from Charlotte, you know, so.
So you just did that on your own?
I mean, it was like a, you know, the guys backed me up, you know, so they knew I was from here.
Did you realize you almost made a big mistake on the call, though?
What'd I do?
Well, you said we want to go on defense.
Yeah.
Which, in theory, could have said, then you're electing to kick, kick off, which you would have lost the opportunity then to receive in the second half.
Yeah, no, I told them that, I said I want our defense to be out there. And they all looked at me like I was crazy. I'm like, I mean, it's pretty simple what I said. Like, I want the defense to be out there. They're like, you mean defer? I'm like, yeah, I guess.
Did you say that to you?
Yeah,
the mic was on.
Oh, well,
he heard you.
Oh, really? No, he was just like, defer. I was like, yeah. Everybody was like, yeah. Everybody was laughing. I'm like, what are y'all laughing at? It's pretty obvious what I'm asking for.
So did anyone say anything to you when you got back to the sideline?
What was it?
And then we're back. He made himself captain, and it didn't know exactly how to declare he wanted to defer that second half. He said, I want to be on defense. And everyone's like, well, is everyone laughing at me? Why is everyone laughing at me? It's like, he could have fucked it up for both his team, both halves, and not get the ball first. Just based on language.
I just love that dude goes out there like he's not one of the main captains and not a captain of the two. He's like, you know what? I'm going out there for the coin toss. It's going to happen. It's going to be what it be. And no one stopped him.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing. Like we can blame him all we want, and I think, you know, I think it's kind of crazy, and I think it's really funny, and I've been laughing about it all week ever since I watched the interview. But no one stopped the man. You have 52 other players on the roster, and then all those coaches and the assistants, and he walked down midfield, and no one was like, yo, no thank you.
Yeah. Isn't he, like, his reasoning behind it is because he's from Charlotte originally, and the game was in
Charlotte. He wanted to go out there and be like, yeah, he's like, my coach didn't know I was there. I mean, props to Jair Alexander, man. He's really good. I like him a lot. I think it's funny.
It also doesn't help that they don't have full season captains. They do it on a game-by-game basis. So that's where the confusion came in. So I guess no one really...
I wonder why they wouldn't just make him one then if it's his hometown. You know, usually they'll do it for a special occasion.
I think that's like what that he seemed like. Yeah. That's kind of what he was saying. He was like, I think Coach didn't realize I'm from Charlotte. And so I think that's what he was kind of saying, like in the post game interview that he had. Nah, man, props to him. He's like, you know, it's overtime. I'm going out there. Coach missed me the first time, so let's go out there this time. So props to Jair Alexander. Sucks for him that he won't be playing this week.
And I mean,
the Packers, he's pretty good at football.
He's a very good cornerback, yeah. And you know, Vikings gonna have JJ back out there. They're gonna have Jaren Hall throwing in the ball, but we'll get into that in the second half. We're jumping the gun. Since we're talking about the Vikings, or I was talking about the Vikings, you guys watched that Lions Vikings game? That was a tough one to swallow as a Vikings fan.
I imagine it was.
Nick Mullins had some, like, he looks good at times, and then he just loves to shit the bed, hence the four interceptions. But the worst was definitely the last one, because he had no pressure, and he throws it down the middle of the field, trying to get it in. JJ, by the way, with another outstanding catch in, like, a crucial, it wasn't nearly as good as the one in Buffalo last year. But he had to go up on like a 3rd and 20-something.
Jump 3 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Double coverage.
Oh, JJ is so good. But then he tried to force one into JJ, but the ball, it was the ugliest duck I've ever seen.
It was behind him?
It fluttered. Like, it was like the ball left his hand, no spiral, no nothing. It was just like up in the air, and JJ was like a good 4 or 5 yards away from him. The Lions defender was right there. So I don't know what the hell happened on that throw. But Nick Mullins, I am glad you are not starting this week, because the Vikings can still make the playoffs.
It's Jared's whole turn.
Good. I mean, I'm just wondering why they haven't got the Pastronaut Dobby Dimes back in there.
Well, because he's looked like shit since his first 2 or 3 games.
Neither one of the Pastronaut
came down to earth. Yeah, zing zing.
Yeah, that's fair. I just don't get it. I mean, I thought he gave you guys the best chance of winning, especially when they called the right plays for him.
Right, that's seems to be the biggest question. Something like, I don't know what Kevin O'Connell is doing out there, but like his play call has been questionable to me. Like, especially
best.
When they do run Dobbs, it's like it's too obvious he's running the ball. Like, I don't know. I saw like a tweet from a Viking fan. He's like, I like Dobbs so much more when he had no idea what the playbook was.
That is
when we were like his first, like, pretty much 2.5 games, outstanding. Like, he looked like our savior. And then shit the bed. I don't know. I'm excited to see Jaren Hall this week. He only got 2 drives in his only start, and then he got out with a concussion. But yeah. Lions win the division. Congrats, Detroit. First division championship since 1993.
30 years. Well,
30 done. Years in the waiting.
Let's golf clap, yeah. I was very surprised the Lions actually won that game, because judging by Jared Goff's stats on the road in that situation, and based on our picks, we all thought the Lions were going to lose that game.
Yeah, we all got that one wrong last week.
Well, and I think I thought there are some questionable calls against the Vikings in that. The
roughing the passer, that one was a terrible call.
You know, once again, you can't put a lot of, you know, a loss, just blame mostly on the refs for the most part.
It came down to the last drive. We're down by 6.
It did, yeah.
I mean, it drove down, and then that last throw didn't
help. I just think that the lack of consistency, like, at the quarterback position for the Vikings is, like, really hurting them at this point. I think they've found their way in, like, Ty Chandler. I think, you know, JJ's been trying to come back, you know.
TJ Hawkinson might be out for the year.
Losing TJ with the torn ACL, MCL.
I haven't seen Jordan Addison. He had to leave the game because of an ankle. I don't know if he was playing in this one.
I feel like they're on really the second or third tiers of their depth chart right now.
Okay.
I think Addison might be also hurt.
Even some of our, like, Powell, he's our number 4 or 5 receiver. Like, throwing him in the slot, because he's still got KJ Osborne. He looked good on Sunday. You got... of course, you got JJ, best wide receiver in the league. I'm going to say that. But yeah, we'll see what happens with that. One game I enjoyed watching, the Bills and Chargers. Chargers taking the lead late in the game.
It was a good game.
There were some Charger fans around, and after they took the lead, I was like, all right, who wants to make some bets? I got $10 that says the Bills win. I got three of them to make that bet, and here I am, $30 richer.
Well, there you go.
That's poor. That's poor knowledge of your history.
Yeah, I was like, these people are gonna do it. I got these. I got them right where I want them. They caved in.
You know, I think the Bills have kind of unlocked, I think, the puzzle that was kind of plaguing them like midway through the season. I think that they've, and we've talked about it all season, not forcing Josh Allen to like do too much.
Yeah.
And, you know, kind of getting back to the running game. And the running game wasn't even like particularly that effective. I mean, welcome back Lenny Fournette by that point. He was back. This is the first game active for the Bills.
Oh.
As well. He had 5 carries for 20 yards in this game.
Hey, look at that. 4 yards a carry.
He's basically, he's the third down back.
You know, big Gay Davis continues to shine as Stephon Diggs has been like nowhere to be found in the last couple weeks. Thank you, Mr. Diggs, for my planet in fantasy playoffs. Appreciate you so much.
You scared me too.
You and Travis Kelce are on a special naughty list for me for next year. No, but I mean, you can see it now. I think Josh Allen is, you know, he feels comfortable taking, you know, what the defense gives him. So like, he will rush the ball, but he's not trying to outstand it. He's not throwing for 35 or 40 times a game, you know, right now. I think the Bills are playing within their confines, and that's a scary team if they kind of get it, especially with like the void of the lack of, you know, the ability of the Chiefs to do some stuff, as well as the Bengals kind of with their decline by this point. I think that the Bills, Bills will be scary in the playoffs, man.
And they can still win this division. I mean, Miami's got a tough matchup this week with Baltimore. Let's just say Miami loses, Bills win out. Dolphins could lose out. I mean, if there's a tie there, you know, I don't know what the tiebreaker scenarios would be, but Buffalo could still win that division and maybe get a home playoff game. But long shot, but it's definitely possible.
The Dolphins play the Ravens last week of the season?
No, the Dolphins play the Bills last game of the season.
Oh,
so yeah. And the Bills do own the initial game over them. Remember, it was like 48-20.
Okay,
yeah. So yeah,
essentially, if the Bills win out and the Dolphins lose
out
this weekend, you know, that would obviously mean that they lose out.
That could be the flex into the
Sunday night game into that one right there.
For sure. Yeah, Panthers put up a nice... Chris isn't here to talk about the Panthers, but nice comeback in the fourth quarter, tied the game up, but then the Packers, led by Jair Alexander, got the job.
In spite of him.
In spite.
Yes.
That was good.
We can talk about Joe Flacco, huh? How about Joe Flacco, everybody?
Is he elite?
He's gotta be 5 weeks.
Joey, old man Joe, coming in here.
And we got 2 Browns games we could talk about. I mean, he lit up the Texans defense. They scored 36 points, and then that against that Jets defense,
he had 37 at halftime.
Yeah,
it was insane.
It was. I can't believe it. Joe Flacco. I'm on the Browns bandwagon. They're my team for the playoffs.
So there's 34 at halftime. I apologize.
34.
Yeah, that's no. I mean, even if the Jaguars make the playoffs by this point, which is starting to get dimmer and dimmer in my eyes every single day. Yeah, I'm cheering for Cleveland, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like, what would be like a more perfect scenario, like just for like based off of our podcast by this point? If Joe Flacco comes up, usurps he who should not be named, wins the Super Bowl, he's already passed him on the Browns' like total list for like most passing yards
in 5 games.
In 5 games, 5 games. I think we looked at this last night, right?
Yeah.
He passed Johnny Manziel.
Well, he needs 73 more yards to pass Johnny.
73 more yards to pass Johnny Manziel in 5 games.
Yeah.
In 5 games, and I think he's already passed he who should not be named.
He's like a 500 yards.
Oh, I thought you were talking about this season. You're talking about
career.
On the career list of the Cleveland Browns.
They got to retire his number.
Joe Flacco.
They got to retire his number.
So does he finally legitimately win comeback player of the year?
I mean, he should. You know, I think, you know, regardless if the Browns, you know, win or lose next week against the Bengals, right? The worst that they can finish is 11-6. We were talking about this kind of at the beginning of the
And they're podcast. At least, they're either going to be the 5 seed, or else if Baltimore somehow loses out, they could be a division winner.
Well, like, if
they win the division, yes, comeback player of the year.
So there's no way that they drop below the 5 seed in the wild card, because the next closest team, the only team that could catch them in, like, you know, the overall standings, would be the Buffalo Bills, right?
Oh, they can't, though.
So the Bills,
Browns only have 1 game left, and the Bills have 2.
Bills have 2. So if the Bills won both their games, and the Browns lose the last game of the season, both teams will be at 11-6.
Oh,
but that's
right,
a moot point because that would put the Cleveland Browns at 8-4 in the conference, and it would still have the Buffalo Bills at 7-5 in the conference.
Ooh, they didn't play each other?
They had not played each other. The highest they can get, the Bills' conference, is 7-5. The lowest that the Browns could go is 8-4 by that point. So regardless, because that's going to be one of your first tiebreakers outside of like head-to-head, yeah, the Browns can't drop any further than where they're at right now.
I mean, one of the hottest teams, just looking, the Rams taken to the Commies last week. Rams, yeah, they looking like everyone's kind of healthy. They're fighting a nice stride. I don't know, like, they're kind of a scary team, it looks like. Like, I don't think you really want to play them.
No, I don't think I would either. I mean, right now, looking at the wild card for, you know, the NFC, it's going to be either Philly or Dallas, right, as the 5 seed, most likely.
I was looking at the wrong week. Who did the Rams just beat?
It was the Saints on Thursday.
I was on the wrong week.
So, I mean, yeah, if you look at that, the Seahawks are down there. Seahawks have kind of been faltering a little bit recently. Like, still a feisty team, still got a lot of fight in them by that point. But the Rams are kind of hungry, man. I mean, Sean McVay has yet to prove anything that like of him not being a great coach. Matt Stafford doesn't seem to be hindered by the same injuries he dealt with at the end of last season. Their running game's there. Kyron Williams seems to be like the real deal when it comes down to running the ball.
Kyron.
And having Puk and Nacua, you know, matched up outside of, you know, Cooper Kupp.
That's a great is a pretty one, good two tandem. Punch, yeah.
They are destined to play the Lions, aren't they? The Rams.
Stafford
will play the Detroit Lions.
They would play the Lions. If the season ended right now, the
Stafford might break the hearts of Detroit.
Stafford would go back to play golf. Because it goes both ways.
Goff has the whole revenge, too.
Because Stafford would return,
revenge game.
Stafford would return to Detroit as a Ram to play Goff as a Lion.
Who took the Rams to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
That is some juicy, juicy stuff.
I mean, you kind of want that to be like a second round game, but man, if you needed a storyline for the first one. And it looks very much likely that's going to happen. I don't foresee Detroit jumping over Philly or San Francisco.
Yeah, I don't know.
But the game tonight against Dallas, I think, is going to be
pretty
big.
That could clinch them at least a 2 seed if they, yeah, whoever wins that game. Or maybe not Dallas, because they still got Philly who could leapfrog them. Do you want to talk about your Jaguars at all? I'm just seeing. I'm going looking at the games from last week. Do you want to talk about them at all?
Not really. I mean, you know, the biggest thing with the Jags, and this is kind of something that we've talked about offline, is Trevor Lawrence is like looking more and more injured every single week by this point. You know, he started with the knee injury, then it went to, you know, the high ankle sprain. Then he had a concussion protocol coming out of the Baltimore game. Like, you can see him at the end of the game, like, trying to get his arm moving because, like, he's having numbness, like, down his throat.
Yeah.
Again. And then you put him in against Tampa Bay. So for the past 2 weeks, he didn't practice except for, I think, like, limited practice on, like, Saturday, right? That's the only practice time that he had for the past 2 weeks. And it doesn't matter how good you are, you still need to practice on the field. Because you saw a lot of, like, routes that he was just off, and there's, like, miscommunication between, like, his receivers and stuff like that. And also, like, he doesn't have the same strength to push off that back leg right now. And then he, you know, gets a sprayed AC joint on his throwing arm. So, I mean, the man is wounded,
yeah.
And you see it.
The balls don't come off his arm the same way.
I mean, we've watched him play all season, and, I mean, even at the end of last season, like, when Trevor Lawrence is good, it's when he can get the ball out, like, under, like, 2.5 seconds. Like, he zips it out there. The guy throws it. I think this is my biggest, like, problem with him sometimes is he just, like, guns it when they're, like, 5 yards away. There's no zip on his ball right now. I mean, he's one of the most accurate downfield passers statistically this whole season. And, like, right now the guy's skipping balls, like, you know, 10 yards out, so... I think it's smart that the Jaguars benched him. I mean, ideally, you'd think that C.J. Beathard can get you 2 more wins, you know, to close out this season and go into the playoffs and go in with a healthy Trevor Lawrence after a couple weeks. You know, right now, I think we'd be playing the Browns, I think, the first game right now of the season. Unless Kansas City drops down. So let's hope Kansas City can drop down a little bit so the Jaguars could just leapfrog them and we could avoid the Browns in the first round. But, you know, it's going to be what it is. It's been very frustrating, especially given the talent and the expectations this year. But it's starting to look more like, you know, next year will be a better year for us.
Allegedly.
But I mean, give it up to the AFC South, though. I mean, C.J. Stroud coming back. You know, I think the Colts have remained competitive even without Anthony Richardson by that point. You know, we at the beginning of this year thought this was going to be one of the most trash divisions in football.
Big time.
And we're currently talking about three possible, you know,
playoffs. I mean, they're all tied for first. Just with Jacksonville owning all the tiebreakers.
Yeah, I mean, it's there. And even then, like, if Jacksonville were to drop down, Jacksonville's still going to have it over Pittsburgh. Like, you know, 7 and 8 are right there, and those are both the Colts and the Texans by them. So
that's insane.
It would be interesting to see if the AFC South were to get two playoff teams. I think.
Very. I mean, especially who the hell would have thought that?
Not at all. Especially if it's the Colts and like it's no Anthony Richardson.
Yeah. It's like a rookie quarterback like lights up the league. Like, okay, yeah, no one, you know, it happened, but fucking
Gardner Minshew, baby.
All right, here we go.
I will say this. I know that it doesn't come across very much when, like, you know, you're cheering against because, you know, fuck the Texans, fuck the Titans. but if it's not the Jags and it's not us, you know I'm going to be a Gardner Minshew fan of the playoffs as well. Like, let's go Minshew, man.
So who are you going to cheer for if it comes down to, like, say the Browns are playing the Colts for the AFC Championship game?
Oh, man. I mean, once again, great storyline from that one as well by this point. Like, we're just writing storylines with the Colts bouncing out. No, that's Baltimore. Sorry.
Yeah.
But no, still good storylines by that point. I don't know. Probably the Colts, just because of Minshew. But man, as much trash as I talked about Joe Flacco, like in his like career, like I feel bad. I'm sorry, Joe. I know you don't listen to the podcast unless you're one of our two listeners. Joe, I apologize. I want you to know I'm rooting for you as well. You know, go team on that
go
one.
Go team. This was a good game. I mean, the Dolphins beating the Cowboys last week. Cowboys just don't look as good on the road as they do at home. And the Dolphins finally beating a, you know, top caliber team instead of just
a team with a winning record.
Yeah.
It's
so
their first win.
Dolphins, when I see Tua out there throwing the ball sometimes, he just seems off to me. Like, he can chuck it up there and let Tyreek Hill do all the work, who I think should be MVP of the league. Him or McCaffrey.
I was going to say him or CMC.
I can't think of any quarterback.
Him or CMC, yeah.
Or Lamar Jackson's the only quarterback.
Lamar's having a pretty good season. Like, statistically, he's pretty decent.
Lamar, Tyreek, and a wide receiver has never won the MVP of the league. So just throw that out there.
You know, the bummer with Tyreek, though, is when he missed that game with the ankle injury, mm-hmm. and then it took him, like, the next game to come back, too, and, like, he still didn't have, like, those games. He was on pace to, like, go over 2,000
yards. Oh, shatter that record.
And if he did, then he would have won MVP, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right? But he missed those two games. It's almost statistically impossible for him to catch up to that now.
Well, he is the cheetah. He could just, what does he need? If anyone can do it, it's Tyreek Hill.
And there's no Waddle this week, so
well,
he's going to get
you
all
know,
of that.
Well, you know, I'm going to take it back. Curse of the announcer on this one. He's at 1641. So that puts it at, what, 359?
It's like 1900-something, right?
He's got a... I'm just saying for 2,000. So 359 divided by 2. He needs to average 179.5 yards.
So about 180 yards a game.
Warren Cooper had an easy time doing that.
Yeah! Which is doable.
I don't know about that against that Ravens defense this Sunday, but... You know, he could have like a 300-yard game.
So I'm just going to go back to it again, and I kind of mentioned this, I feel like, the last week we talked about it. The Ravens, I know they're the number one team in the AFC. I watched that Jaguars game, and I still just didn't see him as being, like, unbeatable. Like, they're good. The defense is a lot better than what I think we give them credit for by this point. But, like, when the 49ers were on that winning streak, and we're like, there's no way that you watch this team lose, right? It's the best team in football, hands down. Like, they were that good at that time that I was like, I just don't see how they happened. When it happened against the Ravens last week, you know, obviously the Ravens can have some clout to talk about it. But, like, in my head, I'm still like, I don't know, man. Brock Purdy, like, throws, like, three picks, like, on the line of scrimmage, right? And it was, like, some good defensive line play. But, like, the Niners were still kind of in that game towards the end.
A little bit,
you
but
know?
Still, but it was in.
But
it was
no running game.
But
at
it
all.
Didn't feel.
We're going to get into that game. Yeah. We'll get into that game because we had the Patriots. We kind of talked about Russ. Patriots upsetting the Broncos. That ended the survival league because everyone picked the Broncos.
Yeah.
Let's quick talk about those Chiefs. Fucking laying. Just playing like trash against their former, against their division rival.
Never had more fun watching a game, watching the Raiders just keep pick sixes.
I didn't watch. There was two pick sixes, right?
Yeah, they kept pick sixes.
And that Chiefs defense is really good because, I mean, you know, Raiders defense is good. Obviously, they got the two pick sixes. But that means they gave up, what, 6 points?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, something like the Chiefs.
Did I pick the Raiders last week? I feel like I picked the Raiders last week.
No, you didn't.
But so I definitely picked the Raiders to cover last week.
You picked the Raiders to cover, yes.
Yeah, I thought I picked the Raiders.
I mean, yeah, the Chiefs are a team, if I'm going into the playoffs, because I still think they're going to win that division. They're going to have a home game, but that is a team I am not scared to play if I am a fan of a team going in there.
Not at all.
The Chiefs are not. Mahomes, probably still the best quarterback in the league, but when you got no weapons outside of Travis Kelce, like, you can't just throw it to him. Like, they got terrible receivers.
And if it were to end, once again, if the playoffs, if the standings like last of the way they are right now, the Chiefs would be playing Buffalo in Kansas City.
Oh, I will be cheering for Buffalo all day
for that first game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have some pretty cool storylines here, like week one of the playoffs.
But yeah, I can't wait till this.
How many times have we seen Stephon Diggs like watch the Chiefs celebrate like on the field in Arrowhead in the playoffs? And, like, this is, like, the most vulnerable they've been.
Since Mahomes took over, 100%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not a Bills fan, but I got to cheer for him against the Chiefs by that point. We're all just done with the Chiefs. It's like when Fernando didn't make, like, the fantasy playoffs to become Mr. Three times this year. We were all, like, you know, kind of relieved on that one.
Yeah,
by that point.
100%. Jeez, 100%.
Next year. There's always next year.
There's always next year.
And then, yeah, that last game, talk about Ravens, Niners, like, I was impressed just that Ravens defense. I don't know what's going on with Brock Purdy, stat boy. What do you?
So that game, after hearing about what happened after the first pick, he just kind of shook it off. In a second pick, he was just trying to be a hero and just force the ball, and the ball was constantly picked. And at the very end, there's no Trent Williams, no running game.
Oh yeah, he was pressured all day.
There was no running game. Billy at all at the very end of the game. And then when Sam Darnold looked a little bit better, I was like, yeah, you're probably keeping him out at this point. Also, it was like root for other things to not happen as well. But, yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, once again, I'm going back to it, kind of what I was alluding to earlier on. I feel as though the Ravens are good. You know, they're a good team. They don't have that air of, like, unbeatableness that, like, I saw with, you know, early season Eagles. Mid-season, you know, Niners up until, like, the last game. I just don't see it yet. I think that they're vulnerable. That's why I'm definitely taking the Dolphins this week for it, but that's for another time. I feel as though this season especially, like, whenever there's been a top team, they only have a couple weeks to celebrate it because, like, the rest of the NFL catches on and, like,
big time. Copycat
I think the Ravens are 100% beatable. I feel as though with the four turnovers that happened in that game with the Niners, I feel as though like the game should have been a much bigger blowout.
By the Ravens.
Yeah. That's what I was referring to earlier when I was talking about it. Like, you know, they were able to turn over the ball and like they'd still only come away with like 3 points. And the same thing happened with in the Jaguars game. Like Trevor Lawrence had like those two turnovers early on and the Ravens couldn't walk away with 7-4. Took the Ravens until the very end of the first half to do it. The Ravens just aren't that efficient on offense. The defense is good, but, like, they don't have that same, like, crazy light-up-the-score type mentality that, like, some of these other teams can. Like, I mean, I could watch the Niners. They'll probably bounce back and it's against the Commies this week. I could watch the Niners go put up, like, 40 points in the first half. None of us would blink an eye at that.
No, it's not surprising at all.
Right? But if the Ravens did it, put up 40 points in the first half, I'd be a little shocked.
Yeah.
I'd be a little shocked. It's just not their game. They're more of, like, a grinding team, which is solid, but they don't have that like explosiveness ability. Like Lamar Jackson is going to keep you in games. Like his endurance is there for it. But like I'm not really afraid of the Ravens. I'm just not. You know, even then like when with the Jaguars, like it's the same thing with like the Niners. If Calvin Ridley's called in on that play, the Jaguars get the ball back with like 3:40 left and like you know three timeouts and they're down by 8 points. You know what I mean? Like with all the turnovers that the Ravens got against the Jaguars, what did they do with it? I feel the same way with like the Niners game. Just my 2 cents.
Those 2 cents. All right, I think we're going to take our quick break here. When we come back, we are going to have some Week 17 picks. There's only 2 weeks left in the regular season. I'm getting a little sad.
It's all coming to an end.
So. No, not yet. We got another month and a half. We got time. We got playoffs. Playoffs!
The end is near.
We will be back right after this.
Right after this.
Let's take a break and listen to some commercials.
Hey, Fernando. I'm looking for some karaoke and some trashy trivia in my life. Where can I go?
Look no further than U31 Bar on University here in North Park. At U31, you can have trashy trivia and karaoke after trivia every Tuesday night. And then on Thursdays, we do karaoke all the way to last call. You can go out there. We got Mama's Waffles and Chicken and Waffles going on from 5 to 9. So good food, good entertainment, a good time. All located at 3112 University Avenue in San Diego, 92104.
Thanks.
You got it. We're back. Double Doinks and Sackles.
Teaching you football.
I'm learning how to football.
Yeah. We're going to go over our picks. Just to note, this is Saturday the 30th. We're doing this right before the Lions-Cowboys game, and we all did pick the Browns to cover whatever spread it was going to be last week, because we knew,
so smart, picking
you know,
Browns.
The holidays and everything. So we all had the Browns-Jets correct. So we're going to move on to that Saturday game. A couple of first-place teams, the Cowboys hosting the Lions. Cowboys, again, they have been a different team at home. They do not look the same on the road, which is why they will lose in the playoffs eventually. Cowboys favored by 4.5. I am going to take the Cowboys to win and cover that. Detroit, I don't know. Like, good for them winning the division for the first time in 30 years. But they are going to, I think they're going to lose a little handily, like maybe double digits in this one. Give me the Cowboys.
Wow.
That might be a hot take right there. I'm going to say 10 or more.
That's really hottish. I feel like after watching the Lions actually win on the road against the Vikings, because I was really worried whether or not to play Goff in my fantasy, I feel like Goff has conquered a demon, and I feel like the Lions can win this game on the road. It's going to be hard, very hard, but I'm picking the Lions to win this game. And Chris Walters also picks the Lions to win this game as well.
Mm. Yeah, no, I'm with Fernando on this one. I mean, the Cowboys at home are a much different team than the Vikings are by that point. And I think the Cowboys are really fighting still for that division. And I think the Lions, you know, they're kind of set where they're at right now.
Yeah.
They need, you know, some stuff to happen to kind of move up from there. So, I mean, they do have, like, the motivation to keep playing. But I mean, the Cowboys need this game right now. So yeah, give me the Cowboys to win and cover at home.
And I feel like, yeah, like you said, they're tied for like that number one seed, but I don't see them going over the Niners or the Eagles or the Cowboys, and that'll happen then. We got Sunday football. The early games will be the Patriots at the Bills. Bills turning it on at the right time. Probably going to make that playoff spot. Bills favored by 14. I got the Bills winning this game, but a divisional game with that large of a spread, I got to take the Patriots to cover. Patriots defense, you know, these two teams know each other well, and that Patriots defense is decent. So I think they can slow down that Bills offense, keep it closer than 14. That's all I'm saying. So give me the Bills to win, but those Patriots will cover.
Yeah, that I agree with you. That 14 points is a lot for a Bill Belichick team. That's almost disrespectful to Bill Belichick not to think that he'll play the game really hard and stuff. Yeah, so I have the Bills to win, but the Patriots to cover. Chris Walters thinks otherwise and has the Bills to win and cover.
Give me the Bills to win, but the Patriots to cover. I'm kind of with Fernando on this one as well. I think that the Patriots just always kind of play really well against them. I mean, if this is Bill Belichick's last time playing the Bills as the head coach of the Patriots, I feel like they're going to come out there. They're going to play for the guy. So give me the Patriots to cover this game. 14 points is just a lot.
Very
good. So many.
Next game, we have the Falcons and the Bears. Both teams mathematically alive in the playoffs. Falcons are only a game behind the Bucks for the division. Chicago, 3-point favorites in this game. I don't know if this is one of those games where if it was the home team, if it was in Atlanta, I'd pick the Falcons, but I'm going to take the Bears to win. But I will take the Falcons to cover those 3 points. I think it's going to be one of those games. You'll have some field goals, some missed extra points, maybe a safety or two. Okay, not two. Maybe a safety. You know, something crazy. I'm going to say it's going to be, I'm going to take the Falcons to cover. It'll be close. It'll probably be an entertaining game. Like two teams kind of okay.
I agree. There will not be two safeties in this game.
Dollar bet, not two safeties. No, two in this safeties. Game.
I feel like the Bears need to win just to hit that 8-game parlay. They need to be able to get the playoffs or something. But yeah, give me the Bears to win a cover. Justin Fields has been doing enough, and that Falcons team on the road in the cold I don't feel like they're going to have much of a chance. Chris Walters also believes the Bears will win and cover as well.
Yeah, give me the Bears a win and cover this game. I like what I'm seeing from Justin Fields the past few weeks. I like what I'm seeing from the Bears the past few weeks. There's a glimmer of hope there. I don't know if that means that the Bears are going to stick with Justin Fields moving forward. But he's definitely making a solid argument to do that right now. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I kind of want a reason to cheer for the Bears in week 18 by this point. So let's keep it going, man. Bears win and cover this game.
All right. Up next, Raiders at Colts. Both teams right on that fringe of making the playoffs. Raiders at 7-8. The Colts at 8-7. Colts 4-point favorites. That Raiders defense, that has really shown me something the last 3 weeks. Even their 3-0 loss to the Vikings, you know, they only gave up 3 points. And that wasn't even all their fault. Colts are just, I don't know what it is. Minshew magic, man. I mean, I don't have as big of a boner for Minshew as Travis does here. However, I'm on that train. I think I picked the Colts last week and they got demolished by the Falcons. But yeah, give me the Colts to win at home and keep those playoff hopes alive. Hell, keep the division alive. I'm gonna take the Colts winning and covering.
I don't see the Raiders doing what they've been doing on that defense, like getting another like defensive touchdown. It's all on Aiden O'Connell, and he is not good. So that's why I picked the Colts to win and cover this game. Just you can only do so much if your quarterback's mediocre and your defense doesn't score, and I think the Colts have the advantage there. Chris Walters picks the Raiders to win outright.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Raiders as well. I like what Antonio Pierce has done there as the coach. I think he's definitely earned an argument to be the head coach moving forward. I mean, I don't know exactly like how sustainable it is like for an entire season. But right now, those players are playing for him. The defense is playing inspired. You know, I look for the Raiders offense to bounce back a little bit from last week. And, you know, I think the Colts defense is definitely not there where it was last year. And I think that Minshew is mistake prone. I think he can, you know, throw some picks or maybe fumble the ball. He's not exactly known for his ball safety by that point. And I think that I look for the Raiders to kind of capitalize on that at some point in this game.
Next game will be the Rams at the Giants. Rams, one of the hottest teams in the league right now. They are 6-point favorites on the road. And I think I say this every week when it's the West Coast team playing the early game on the East Coast. With 6 points, I'm going to pick the Rams to win this game. But I think the Giants have been a little frisky the last few weeks. You know, they kind of hung in there with the Eagles on Monday. You know, keeping it close. They got really nothing to play for. They're eliminated from the playoffs. But they got some pride to play for. I think the Giants are going to keep it close. I'm going to take the Giants to cover that 6 points. But in the long run, the Rams are going to win this game.
Just realized we didn't talk about Tommy DeVito at all this podcast. Anyway, I got the Rams to win and cover this game. The Rams are a very scary team. I don't want to face them in the playoffs. And they are looking mighty feisty. And to be continually feisty and be in that playoff picture, they need to continue to win and show some cohesion. So give me the Rams to win and cover. Chris has the Rams to win and cover as well.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Rams to win and cover this game. They are 5-1 in their last 6 games. Their only loss coming to the Baltimore Ravens in overtime, 37-31. But they beat the Browns, you know, they beat the Seahawks, and they beat the Saints, all playoff contenders by that point. The Giants are not. The Giants are circling the drain by this point. Look for the Rams to win and cover this game and go into next Sunday against the Niners, trying to solidify their playoff hopes.
Kaboom. Cardinals at Eagles, the next game. Battle of the Birds. The Eagles are 12-point favorites at home. I mean, what can you say about this game? I think the Eagles are going to destroy the Cardinals, and I will take them with that 12 points any day. I cannot see the Cardinals keeping it close at all. Kyler Murray just doesn't look good. He's gross. Eagles, no problem.
I agree with you. Kyler doesn't look great. But I think that Eagles offense is still, like, sputtering. They're, like, doing enough. They're not really getting the receivers involved as much as they would like to. It's just tush-pushes. But I think anyone get, like, a receiving touchdown on the Eagles? Maybe. I was definitely going to pick the Eagles to win a cover if, like, Clayton Tune was, or whoever his name was going to play, if Kyler was sick and not able to play. But I got the Eagles to win, Cardinals to cover that 12 points. Chris Walters has the Eagles to win and cover that full 12 points.
I also had the Eagles win, cover the full 12 points. They did. They had one receiving touchdown last week. It was Devontae Smith, which helped Goods vault his way into the playoff, the championship game at that point. I don't think the Eagles are great right now, but the Cardinals are very bad. It's a really bad team. I think that the Eagles will have an interesting game the last week of the season when they play the Giants, but this is not going to be one of them. Look to the Eagles to kind of bounce back to form and really take this game.
Mm-hmm. Up next, this is going to be a good one. This is possibly for the division. We got the Saints at the Bucks. Tampa Bay has been looking good. Baker Mayfield, that offense is putting up points the last few weeks. Tampa Bay, though, just 2.5-point favorites at home. I don't know. I figured this would be a lot more. I mean, I'm going to take the Bucks to win and cover because I think they got a little momentum going their way, and I think this game is going to solidify. I mean, they could clinch the division with this win, and if the Falcons lose, NFC South is Tampa Bay, and I think that is what's going to happen. Tampa Bay winning this game.
Yeah, Tampa's playing really well right now. Baker's been really good. He's been hitting his receivers really good, utilizing Rashad White really good. Give me the Bucks to win this game to cover. Chris Walters also picks Bucks to win to cover.
I mean, we're looking at a possibility that Baker Mayfield actually throws for over 4,000 yards this season.
Damn.
Should he be player that he can come back?
He's. I mean, he could. You can make the argument for it by that point, given especially like his travels last year between the Panthers and the Rams. But no, I think he's kind of found a home here in Tampa. You know, it doesn't hurt that Mike Evans and Chris Godwin are the guys catching the balls for you. That defense has been pretty solid for the most part. But yeah, Baker needs just, 402 yards for the rest of the year to get to 4,000. So I'm going to cheer for Baker on this one. I think he's going to get it. And I think this game should be a good one, actually. I think it's going to be fun to watch. But give me the Bucks to win by a field goal.
At least.
Maybe four. Fair enough. Yeah, at least. That would definitely get the cover.
It would get the cover.
All right. Next game, I got nothing to say about this. Niners at Commies. The only thing is Brock Purdy will have a little bounce back game here. I think this is the perfect team for him to do it against. The only question is, will the Niners cover those 14 points? I'm going to say they do. Washington, like, they got nothing to play for. Is Ron Rivera out after this?
Probably.
Yeah, you got to think of the coaches.
I mean, they have new ownership.
Yeah,
this year, you know, Sam Howell, I think we know what he's got by this point.
I mean, he's putting up numbers. He is, but I just not against this Niner defense, not against this Niner overall team. Like, they should have a heyday. So, yeah, Niners.
The Commies are so bad. They're really bad in the defense, the receiving defense at least, and it's not going to be pretty. I'm really worried about whether the stadium will collapse on itself during this game. But, yeah, I have the Niners to win a cover. Chris has the win to cover as well.
Also win to cover. Yeah. Boom.
Next up, possibly the game of the year. The Panthers at the Jaguars. The 2-13 Panthers and the 8-7 Jaguars. Jacksonville currently favored by 4 points. The Panthers, you know, they're down the stretch, you know, they're putting some games together. They got a win a couple weeks ago. They gave the Packers a run for their money. I'm going to take Jacksonville to win this game with C.J. Beathard starting at quarterback.
C.J. Beathard, spelled Beatard.
Okay, I like that. Beatard. C.J. Beatard starting. You know, I can see the Panthers winning this game, but I just can't. I can't say that on air.
If they do that, we're really missing Chris Walters.
We need Chris Walters here.
That don't think that's going
to
happen.
So Jacksonville's going to win this, but I will take the Panthers to cover those 4 points. I think they're going to be feisty enough. You know, game-winning field goal at the end. Maybe C.J. Beathard will, you know, drive him down the field for that game-winning field goal. Give me Jacksonville, Panthers cover.
I agree with you completely. I think the Jaguars will, I believe, in C.J. Beathard, but this is going to be closer than people think. 4 points needs to be that field goal win, just enough. I like that. Jaguars win, Panthers cover. Shockingly, Chris Walters picks the Panthers to win out.
Right.
I'm shocked.
I think Jacksonville's defense is going to step it up against Bryce Young. I think, you know, the Panthers have all but four plays that they call on a regular basis by that point. Look for, I would say, Etienne and Ingram to have big games with, like, Mr. Checkdown himself back there with C.J. Beathard. But I think that the Jags will handle this game pretty handily for the most part. So give me the Jags by like a touchdown.
All right. So yeah, even though that was the game of the year, this next game is probably the game of the week. We got the Dolphins at the Ravens. Right now, the 1-2 seed in the AFC. This could come down to who gets the number one seed in that first round bye in the playoffs. Baltimore favored by 3 at home. I'm gonna say there's just like I kind of said in the beginning, Tua just sometimes doesn't. He looks a little off with some of his throws. You take away, like, Tyreek Hill, there's going to be no Waddle in this game. I just feel like that Ravens defense is going to fluster him. And I think the Ravens are going to win this game, I'm not going to say easily, but I think they're going to walk away with the win and clinch that first round bye. And I'll obviously take them to cover that 3 points. So, Baltimore, you're going to solidify yourselves as the top team in the AFC.
Yeah.
Raven down.
Yeah, I like the Raven down. Really? Okay. Yeah, I like the Ravens to win and cover this game. That was beautiful.
Thank you.
The Ravens will win this game and cover. I want to root for and pick the Dolphins, but I feel like the Ravens, after what they did to the Niners, are really formidable, and I feel like the Dolphins are going to probably pay a little closer. I don't think they'll make the mistakes that Purdy made. But yeah, give me the Ravens to win and cover. Chris Walters picks the Dolphins to win outright.
I'm with Chris on this one. I like what I saw from Miami last week. I think that they essentially control their own destiny by this point. With a win this week against Baltimore, that should jump them over for the one seed. They'd be sitting pretty atop. And yeah, I mean, it brings down for an interesting showdown in the last week of the season with the Bills and the Dolphins as well. But if the Dolphins are going to do anything in the playoffs, they have to start beating winning teams. They finally did that last week. Watch that streak continue this week, because I think the Baltimore Ravens are beatable.
Fair enough. Last game for the morning games, we got the Titans at the Texans. Houston coming in 4-point favorites. C.J. Stroud allegedly will be back and starting a quarterback. Yeah, with this, I think the Texans are, they're the better team, better coach. I like both coaches. They got two good coaches. I don't trust the Titans at all with anything. And I think the Texans can go out there, try to keep pace with the Jaguars for that division. I mean, same with the Colts. Like, if they can all stay together, like, that's a very tight race, right there. So, yeah, give me the Texans winning and covering and keeping their division hopes alive.
I can't believe I think we're all picking the Texans, but I can't believe the Texans are, like, an easy pick for this because they're a really solid team. You get C.J. Stroud back. He'll do what he does really well, which is control the ball, make smart passes. It's crazy how the Texans have progressed in one whole year.
Yeah.
I just want that. But yeah, I got the Texans to win and cover this. Chris has Texans to win to cover this as well. I think this is a pretty easy game for Texas to win.
Should be. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it really should be. Will Levis comes back as well, which I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing for the Titans by that point. I mean, you've kind of hitched your wagon to them. I don't think Tannehill looked terrible the other week. Derrick Henry's still doing Derrick Henry things. But I like the Texans in this game. I think, it'd be interesting if the Texans, the Jaguars, and the Colts all win this week. It comes down to if the Jags win next week, and if not, then whoever beats the Texans and the Colts play each other next week. So it really comes down to a lot of this. We're looking at, once again, the possibility of two AFC South teams actually making the playoffs, which would be crazy to me, considering what the thoughts were at the beginning of the season. But, yeah, the Texans should win this game. They should handle the 4 points. Especially at home. This is in Tennessee. I don't know. Tennessee plays a little harder at home, but give me the Texans, especially. That crowd's got to be jumping as soon as C.J. Stroud hits the field again.
Big time. Afternoon games. The first one up, we got the Steelers at the Seahawks. Seahawks are going to be 4-point favorites in this game. So just a little thing with this. Steelers currently at 8-7. So with two games left, they need one more win. So Mike Tomlin will have yet another non-losing season. 8-8 has been his worst record. Now with an odd number of games, you can't be 500. So Mike Tomlin needs one more win to avoid just having a losing record. I don't think it's going to happen this week, though. If this was in Pittsburgh, I would definitely be picking the Steelers. But in Seattle, And is it Mason Rudolph starting for Pittsburgh?
He's still starting, yep.
All right, you got Mason Rudolph. I mean, he did light up the Bengals last week. However, I'm going to take Seattle to win this game and cover those 4 points. Just, again, 12th man at home. Seattle trying to get that final playoff spot along with the Rams. So I think the Seahawks are going to keep those hopes alive. Go out there and get a dub against Pittsburgh.
I can't believe I'm picking the Steelers to win this because Mason Rudolph made that team a little bit better. I really hated all the Mason Rudolph, the red-nosed reindeer, like references during that game. I was like, please stop. But the Steelers played better with Mason Rudolph as quarterback. I don't know why. I can't explain it. If you had like told me at the beginning of the season, Mason Rudolph being quarterback at the end of the season, I would take them and lose. Mike Tomlin would have their losing season for the first time in a while or ever. But I kind of like the Steelers in this game to win outright. It just feels like Tomlin has to clinch that above 500 season. This is how they're doing it. Chris Walters picks the Seahawks to win and cover.
I'm going to take the Seahawks to win and cover this game. Mason Rudolph is in line to start right now, but Kenny Pickett is questionable. So they have not ruled him out completely of the game yet. I think Kenny Pickett coming back in this would be an interesting pick on that. I think Mason Rudolph had like a one-shot wonder last week. I'm pretty sure he still smells purple, thanks to Myles Garrett. But yeah, I'm with Fernando on this one. If this game was in Pittsburgh, I might be leaning towards the other way. But in Seattle, with the playoffs alive, give me Seattle in this game.
Next one, we're going to do the Chargers at the Broncos. Chargers eliminated from playoffs. Broncos still clinging to hope without Russell Wilson. Broncos are still 3.5-point favorites. So we got another game of backup quarterback versus backup quarterback. And I am going to take Denver to win this game, but I think it's going to be by a field goal. So with 3.5 points, I will take the Chargers to cover. I think it is going to be – I don't think it's going to be a good game to watch. I think it's going to be an ugly game to watch, and I don't even want to watch it. But I'm going to take the Broncos, and let's ride.
It's like watching a car crash. I just don't want to watch this at all either. You could have like brought one of those 10 early games to the late window, possibly. Think about all the fans. I like Stidham. He's really underutilized. He's really taken for granted how he could actually – he played the Niners really well last year as a Raider. And it was really close. I like his moxie. Is that a thing? Yeah. I like the Broncos to win this because I don't think the Chargers have anybody to play. Like, they get stuck with Eckler, which no one's going to believe he's going to do anything different from all year. Yeah, give me the Broncos to win and cover. Chris Walters also believes Broncos win and cover.
I like Andrew's like 1940s like commentating. Like,
yeah. I'm just going like old
school. The boys got moxie.
Hey, they talk like this.
He's gotten moxie. Man. No, I don't know how much moxie he has, but I think the Chargers are a bad team, especially if they're playing in Denver by this point. Easton Stick's not great. Their running game, I mean, Austin Eckler's been terrible. There's no Keenan Allen this week. The defense has been porous at best. Give me the Broncos to win and cover this game and keep their 8% chance of the playoffs alive.
Kaboom. Final afternoon game. There's only three of them. We have the Bengals at the Chiefs. This would have been a sexy game if we had two starting quarterbacks playing in it. But we got the Jake Browning. State Farm. Okay. Bengals are 6.5-point underdogs going into Arrowhead. The Chiefs do not look... We said this earlier. Most vulnerable they've been under the Mahomes era, and 6.5 points is a lot. So I got to take the Chiefs to win this game, but I think the Bengals, they're going to be feisty. They're 8-7. They're one of those teams trying to get one of those last playoff spots. I think they're going to try to keep their hopes alive. However, I think the Chiefs will win, but 6.5 is too much for the way the Chiefs have been playing. So Bengals will cover that, in my opinion.
I'd like to really know what the Chiefs' record against the spread is right now, but I feel like they will not cover that 6.5. I got the Chiefs winning because, yeah.
I mean, it's in Arrowhead.
It's Arrowhead. That alone will help them push them over the top. But, yeah, I feel like the Bengals will keep this close, and Chiefs are beating anyone, like, routing anyone. So give me the Bengals to cover. Chris Walters picked the Chiefs to win a cover.
There's like a huge part of me that wants to pick the Bengals in this game. Just because of the way the Chiefs have been playing. I mean, outside of the one like really bad game that Browning's had, he's filled in pretty well, I think, for Burrow this season. I think it depends on if Ja'Marr Chase plays. If Ja'Marr Chase plays, I think that the Bengals could definitely cover this game and have a shot to win it. I just don't see him playing. I just don't see it happening. He can barely hold his arm up right now with that AC joint sprain. So give me the Chiefs to win and cover this game, and I feel bad saying that.
Final game of the week, Sunday Night Football. No Monday Night Football games this week. Happy New Year's, everybody.
Let those college players play their
college football will be on. So Sunday Night Football, this is the game I've been waiting for. We got the Packers at the Vikings. Both teams 7-8. Both teams one game behind Seattle and Los Angeles Rams for that final playoff spot. Vikings 1-point favorites. They're going to have Jaren Hall making his second career start. If you don't remember, he did start against the Falcons in early November. I was at that game. And he got knocked out in the second drive with a concussion. And with the way Nick Mullins has looked and then Josh Dobbs as of late, I really like that he's starting. Rookie guy, throw him out there. Just let him. Because if we do make the playoff, or the Vikings do make the playoffs, like, you know, you're not going to do anything with Mullins or Dobbs. Let's see what you can do with this rookie. Like, unproven. He's had two drives in his NFL career. And his first like line of duty was when he went in to against the Packers when Cousins got injured, and he looked terrible in that game. So I think the home team, he's got Justin Jefferson, no Jair Alexander, KJ Osborne, our backup tight end. Yeah, Vikings win this game and they cover that 1 point. That's right, 1 point. They're gonna cover it. You heard it here first. Vikings keep the playoff hopes alive. Blow, pack, blow, and skull away. Jimmy G, take it away.
I think he convinced me. I think he convinced me. Actually, I forgot about all the different wide receivers from the Packers are hurt. There's no Wicks. I think Wicks is questionable. Christian Watson, I think, is also questionable. You got Jalen Reed with like a turf toe. People come back from that early. I feel like there's a lot of weapons on the Packers that are missing. So I got the Vikings. I'm going to change my pick. Vikings win and cover that one huge
goal
point. I'm not going to skull.
Skull. I'll skull for
Chris
you.
Chris Walters skull. Also picked the Vikings to win the cover.
Skull.
Yeah.
Skull.
If it's a tie, we all lose the cover, right?
That is true.
Yes, we do.
Yeah, Christian Watson's doubtful again this game. I still think... I like Jordan Love. I like what I've seen from this season so far. When he's on, he's really on. When he's off, man, good luck. But I think no Jair. I think at home in Minnesota... I don't know what this kid's got, man. I don't know what that quarterback can do, but I guess we're about to find out. So it doesn't hurt the fact that the Packers defense is down a little bit. So yeah, I'll take the Vikings to win and to cover this game.
Skull!
Skull! I was with no cover, just so
no cover?
Just do the under.
Just
so you get the tie in the case.
Final score is gonna be what, 21-20?
Yeah. You know.
I'll allow it.
I almost want to like pick. Is it Malik Hill Heath? Malik Heath.
Malik Heath
will score a touchdown. Yeah. I feel like that will happen.
Who's that?
It's like a fourth string receiver or something
like
that.
He took Randall Cobb's number, I believe.
No.
You want to make that bet? I'll make that bet with you.
No, I'm not doing
that. All right,
but it'd be a hot take. It could be.
Are we doing that? I think we're just wrapping this up, right?
I think we're pretty much.
All right, that's gonna do it. This is our final episode of 2023. So happy New Year, everybody! We'll be back next week for week 18, the final regular season week of the year. Oh, so sad. All right, signing off. My name is Fernando.
I'm Travis.
Jimmy G, the stat boy.
We will talk to you next week. Have a great New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Should old acquaintance be forgot? Should old acquaintance be forgot? And old